Hello, everyone. My name is Lewis Sandler. This is my Origin of Words podcast. And this is a podcast where we go into cool words, slang, idioms, and other interesting expressions. And we try to find the history of them or the origin. And I've been doing this now for, about 4.5 years. And we've had in the past a few interviews. If you go back a few months, you'll see an interview with some teachers and the dean and a foreign teacher and a Chinese teacher. And I'm very happy today to tell you that we have a wonderful guest here, and he is from America. His name is William Jefferson, and I'd like to talk with him a little bit about why he's in China and his education background and so on. I think you'll find it very interesting. He's a really cool guy. And I met him at the fitness center that we both attend here in the Beijing. And so that's where I met him, and I invited him to come on the podcast. We don't usually do interviews, but he's pretty cool, so I think you'll find this very interesting. So, hello, William.
Hello, Lewis.
And thank you very much for coming today and taking time to do this. I know you're very busy.
A little bit busy, but I think it's an honor to be here today.
Well, you know, I like to start with your name because you have a really cool name, Jefferson, and I have to ask you, I just have to. Are you any relation, like a distant relation to Thomas Jefferson?
I think that would be nice, but sorry, there's no resemblance.
Have you have you ever researched it, or?
I think on my father's side, he's done a little bit, but he said that he found that there was no relation between us.
Okay, so William, you are from America. Can you tell us exactly where you're from?
I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and I ended up going to college out in California.
And what did you study in California?
In California, my bachelor's degree was in urban and regional planning, and my master's I switched to environmental planning. And then now for my doctorate, I'm studying environmental engineering.
So you are a doctoral candidate at the University of Chinese Academy of Science. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And which year are you now?
I am right now a fourth year doctorate student.
So you've been here 4 years studying?
Yes, 4 years.
And can you tell us a little bit about that? How do you like doing that? And what exactly is your research interest background?
It's I like being here. I've been here, the 4 years now, and my research interest is we do on water treatment and wastewater treatment, and also industrial wastes. I don't know if I should get too much into the scientific terms.
But, yeah, go ahead. A few science terms are okay.
We do work on maybe inorganic wastes and mixed wastes that are a little bit more difficult to treat than just looking at the degradation of one chemical or maybe the just organic chemicals. We look at a mixture of complex chemicals and how we can use technology or engineered technology to degrade these pollutants.
So have you actually visited some sewage treatments or wastewater treatment plants in Beijing or other places in China?
We have a professor in our research group that along with my advisor, and they've taken me to a couple of wastewater treatment plants here in China. There was one that my group designed in Zhengzhou, and that is a groundwater where they'll pump the groundwater out, and then they treat that because groundwater is a little bit easier to treat. There's just maybe a few heavy metals left in, and they can remove those.
So I have to ask you this. You're from Omaha, Nebraska. You went to college and got a bachelor and a master in California. And so what is your decision to come to China to get PhD?
A big portion of the reason why I wanted to come to China was in maybe California, and maybe even before then, as I studied Japanese during high school. And when I went out to California, I got a minor in Chinese as well. And I just thought that growing up in the U.S. for, 18 or so years into my 20s, I just thought moving to Asia has always kind of been a dream for me.
Yeah, that sounds similar. It's something that I also dreamed before I came here. And you said you minored in Chinese. You mean Chinese language?
Yes.
So for those that don't know, minor means... would you call it a subset of a major or the opposite of a major? How do you describe a minor to students that don't know this term?
I think for a minor would just be maybe an additional specialization besides your major or your major field that you're studying in. So maybe if you were studying electrical engineering, you could also get a minor in German language or maybe French or Spanish.
Okay, so now you've been here for 4 years at UCAS, and tell me something about the method of instruction. Is it in English or in Chinese or a combination of both? How does that work?
Here at UCAS is my first year. We took a Chinese language course, and that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of learning with some of my classmates from different countries from around the world. And besides these classes, we can also apply to take other classes or other courses. Most of those are taught in Chinese, but then there's also lectures from foreign professors or guest lecturers that come to UCAS just to maybe for collaboration or just to give lectures.
So now you're in your fourth year, and when do you expect to graduate with a PhD?
I'm hoping to finish my PhD this December, maybe I think November. I'll start to prepare the finalizing documents, but then the actual walking ceremony will take place next summer.
And and you also have to defend your dissertation, right?
Yes, yes.
And how many judges will there be, or instructors will there be when you defend it?
I think usually there's a total of about six judges that will come to the dissertation defense.
And this is all in the Chinese language, is that right?
I'll be doing in Chinese language, but maybe there, if we have another guest, or maybe there's another judge who's from the United States, maybe I'll use a little bit of English as well.
And how do you feel and your confidence level about doing this defense in Chinese language?
I've prepared well. I think over the last 4 years, every year we have a review over what research work we've done for the previous year and up until those review dates. And most of those I've done in Chinese, and a few of those I've answered some questions also using English as well.
So we have a lot of listeners that are learning English, and many of them are also students at UCAS. And you're now getting a PhD degree, and you are mostly in Chinese language. So can you give some advice or suggestions to students that are also PhD candidates, and they are required to take some English classes. So can you give some hints, some suggestions about how they can go about learning, studying English?
Sure. I think one of my, the biggest things that I should say is that don't be afraid of making mistakes in English, because I think that the best way to learn another language or foreign language is to just try. And when I spoke Chinese, or when I was learning Chinese for such a long time, even before I came here to China, I realized that even if I said something wrong, it was still a learning experience. And that even though maybe I would have felt, hey, you know, I mispronounced that, or I could have said something else different, at least I learned from that small experience.
Yeah, that's something that students need to get over, is this fear of losing face and of making mistakes. For my part, I make so many mistakes. I could make a whole book. I could write a whole book on mistakes of speaking Chinese. So let's talk about your life in general in China. It's much different. How would you compare it to like Omaha, Nebraska, and which is kind of like the agricultural area of the United States? Would that be correct?
It's, I would say, a lot of agriculture, but at the same time, our maybe downtown area is a little metropolitan.
Okay, because I'm from Boston, I'm from the East Coast, and we don't have much agricultural land. So how would you contrast or compare it, that area of Omaha, to this life here in Beijing?
I think the biggest difference would be in my hometown. It's in most areas, maybe if you go to the mall or if you go to the supermarket, there's not very many people, or maybe at most there's maybe just a couple hundred people, maybe if that, in some of the shopping areas. And I think coming to China was a bit of getting used to just the big population. And I think that ultimately, before, when I left Omaha and went to Nebraska, or went to California for college, it was helpful to kind of take that first step to first go to California and then get used to big city life, and then make the jump or the leap to overseas life.
A big city life. That's funny, yeah. I also went to California to school, from Boston to California. So I got to ask you this. After you get your PhD, I'm sure you will, but after you get it, what's your plan about work or study further, or what?
I plan to do a postdoc at my current institute. I have a good relationship with my boss, with my advisor, and I think he's been very good to me while I've been here, and I think that I've learned a good amount since I've come to China, not just about my own research field in environmental engineering and some new treatment technologies and those types of things, but besides that, I've learned a lot, I think, in terms of just broadening my horizon.
Would you recommend that other students, like they're in college in the United States and maybe they got the travel bug, would you think it would be a good idea for them to come to China and do some, you know, master degree work or doctorate degree work?
I think that for other Americans looking to take or travel this route, it has some difficulty involved, and I think that if you're willing to put forth the effort in learning the language, because without learning Chinese, maybe you will come across much more difficulty, especially with research and with the terms and the types of maybe I guess you call maybe what's that maybe specialty words that you just use. Like the scientific
like jargon.
The scientific jargon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're almost out of time. We're coming up to our limit here. And it's been interesting getting a general picture of your your life. And, you know, the average American coming to China, I wouldn't say average, getting a PhD is average, especially when you have to change the language. But so all in all, you like your life here, would you say? And if you had to do it over again, would you come here again, or would you rather get your PhD in the U.S.?
I think if I had to do it all over again, I would. And I think that ultimately, getting a PhD in the U.S. would be, I guess, maybe the easier step, or the maybe slightly easier way to go about things. But I think that from my perspective, I think it's nice to get the broadened horizons.
So one more question. Students that are here in China, and they're thinking of going to the U.S., after their master degree, for example, to get a PhD. Or I know some students, even in the first, second year PhD, they stop here and then they transfer and go to the U.S. What do you think about that? Is that a good thing to do? Would you suggest more students do that? Or what do you think some problems might be for Chinese students thinking of going abroad?
I think one of the biggest issues going abroad would just be that maybe some of the cultural differences, because there are some reach the United States. But the other thing is, right now at this time, I think that it would make more sense almost to just finish up here in China, because in the future, whether or not you would like to stay here, there will still be research opportunities, or, you know, future opportunities for you to go abroad and collaborate with others.
Okay, William. Well, we really are out of time. I'd like to thank you very much for coming on this interview discussion podcast. And for those listeners, we will do number 91 coming up soon, so stay tuned. You are welcome to send us an email and leave any comments. If you can get Facebook, you can press like, you can share, and if you have any suggestions for future podcasts, please send Jessica or myself an email. We'll be happy to communicate with you. So, on behalf of all the listeners, and William, and Jessica, wherever you are, and that will be all for today. So I'll say zaijian, and zaijian, William.
Okay, zaijian, Louis.
Okay.